Back, but great to welcome in my next guest, who has carved out a magnificent career, a Grand Slam champion at the US Open, a runner-up at the French Open, 9 WTA career singles titles, over 600 singles wins across her career, highest ranking of 4. Add to that 26 career doubles titles, where she's been ranked world number one, a three-time Grand Slam winner in doubles. Our most capped in terms of singles wins in Fed Cup, representing her country, a three-time Grand Slam mixed doubles winner as well. And in 2020, she also became a mum. Great to welcome Sam Stosur to SEN today. Hi, Sam.
Hey, Brad. How are you?
Yeah, going very, very well. I mean, there's been so much talk about the internationals coming in quarantine. We've had quite a few on the radio. We're getting a lot on social media. But for the Aussie players, it is a different situation. And right now, you do have that freedom to train, prepare, just take us through what's happening at the moment in the build-up to the Australian Open.
Yeah, I guess everything is very different to how all of us would normally be preparing for the Aussie Open. But, yeah, obviously all the Aussies are free to move around. Everyone who played overseas late last year, they've all returned now and gone through the 2 weeks quarantine like every other return traveller. And most of them are now down here in Melbourne. We've got our own little training facility, so that's been great. And, doing what we need to do and looking forward to getting back into Melbourne Park once the quarantine's all finished, and that'll be, I guess, the day before the tournament's due to start.
Sam, how would you sort of just look back on the last 12 months? I mean, you know, you couldn't get out and do what you've done for such a long time, the last two decades, and that's be a professional tennis player on the road. But it coincided with the time off, with you having, I imagine, your finest moment, having having a child in your life. I mean, everyone says that is the best thing that can happen to you. So it's allowed you to have that downtime to be a full-on mum. Can you just take us through the roller coaster of the last sort of 12 months?
Yeah, well, it certainly is the best thing ever. So, I mean, although I am quite tired tonight, last night wasn't a good night, but I feel really lucky in some ways that, I was able to be home most of last year and was home for the birth of Genevieve and was able to spend, all of her life so far every day with her. So that is certainly something that I was not expecting to be able to do. And, I'm absolutely loving it and really stepped away from tennis for a good kind of 9-10 weeks when she was born and started getting back into it. And I guess, I've had a long pre-season like everyone else who wasn't playing, but it's been great for me to slowly and gradually kind of build back into playing and training and doing all that because I've had so much time. So it's certainly not without its challenges, as anyone with a child knows, but you'd certainly take all the bad times just for even seeing that little smile in the morning. So absolutely loving it, but some days are more tiring than others.
I can imagine, absolutely. We're talking to Sam Stosur here on Afternoons as she gears up for another Australian Open and a summer of tennis. It is certainly very different with the change of dates and also the build-up. So right now, at this stage of your career, unless I've missed something, I haven't heard you call any definitive end to when it's all going to stop for you. Where are you at, Sam, just in your mind and your body, your game, and how much more tennis you want to keep playing?
Yeah, look, I haven't put a date on it or when, the last match I play will be. So I think I want to keep going while it's possible, while I can, while I enjoy it, and while I feel like I can still be competitive. So I don't know when that's going to be. I mean, this year's still going to be really challenging as far as travel goes for all the Aussies. Obviously, given our situation with traveling and quarantine, I feel like a lot of us are going to have to kind of make the call once we leave. We don't come back for many, many months. And that's not really a position that I'm willing to put myself in right now, given, what I've got at home. So I'm still a little bit up in the air with what my year's going to look like, but I'm not by any means ready to call it after this summer of tennis by any means.
Do you think you're still, I mean, you've always been super fit. I mean, you pride yourself on your physicality it's a game that has become even more physical as the years have ticked on. And there's so many fearless young players coming through who, making it tough for a Serena to get to 24, and you know those older players are really getting some on the women's side some unbelievable competition. The depth is quite enormous, but obviously in your heart you still believe you can really compete hard on that singles court and have some wins going forward.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's certainly getting tougher and tougher. And like you said, there's so many good players now, and they're young and fearless. And, you know, they don't really care what you've done in your career. They're out there to win and do what they need to do. So it's certainly not easy, but I still want to try and put myself in that position while I can. And, you know, there's certainly been more challenging moments as far as that goes in the last couple of years. But I feel like while I've been able to train and do what I've been able to do at least these last couple of months, it kind of gives you that extra little bit of, I get motivation, I guess, to try and keep going as long as you can, because I know once I'm done for, you know, forever. So if there's, you know, one more chance to play one more event or something like that and you feel like you can do it, then I certainly want to take that opportunity while I can.
Sam, just the big picture, for those out there who aren't following, and I get a lot of responses on our text machine. We get calls who, you know, for a lot sort of take in the tennis at this time of the year but don't follow the totality of the sport and understand all the nuances. But obviously, for the Australian Open to happen, it's taken a huge amount of work behind the scenes, and you'd be privy to information that I'm not, to get to the point that it could get the tick of approval. Yes, some players have got their noses out of joint, and you can understand the athlete's point of view as well, because to prepare for a Grand Slam you need to be out on court and hitting balls and be in the right shape and to hit the ground running for a Grand Slam. So they're going to be compromised a little bit, but can you give us your perspective as a player as to what sort of the playing group has been going through in the last 12 months, you know, dealing with just such a big change to their normal life?
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge change to everyone's lives, obviously, in general. But for, like, if we want to talk about just tennis players, then it is very hard for us to do our job when, you know, border restrictions, you can't get into countries. We haven't been able to travel state to state. You know, I couldn't train with my coach until early December because she's based in New York and finally was able to come over and quarantine and do everything that you need to do. So there's, you know, lots of moving pieces with tennis, and it changes, you know, daily. So honestly, in the lead up to all of this actually getting off the ground, I was on a lot of phone calls in the beginning to see kind of where things were at, and then kind of stepped away from it for a bit because it didn't really matter whether you listened to it on Tuesday, because by Wednesday it was going to be something different anyway.
Yeah.
So
I
tried not to spend too much energy and get too invested until it was kind of more set in stone. But there's certainly been a hell of a lot of work going into getting this event up and running, and I hope the players can, you know, once they get out and actually realise that they can live a relatively normal life and play a normal tournament, which they haven't been able to do really at all since March 2020, they'll actually realise why the Australian government put these, you know, restrictions in place for return travellers, because we've got a good life here at the moment, and, you know, it would be terrible if something was to stuff that up. So it's it is unfortunate that they've had to go through it. You know, nobody wishes that upon anyone, but unfortunately nothing's perfect in this world at the moment, and that's just the way it is.
No, that's true. And, I mean, do you think the top end deserve more privileges in tennis? I mean, we don't only see it in tennis. We see this across other sports as well, where if you're at the pinnacle of the sport, you probably do get some extra credits in the bank, and, you know, whether it's scheduling, whether it's, in some cases, appearance money, whether it's extra perks that go along with the top end. I mean, do you believe that is fair? I mean, Craig Tiley's sort of been strong on that in making that statement yesterday, because clearly those down the pecking order do get their noses out of joint a bit when they don't, maybe don't have the same playing conditions.
Yeah, look, there's no doubt there's perks when you're higher ranked or you've, you know, been a Grand Slam winner or something like that. And I've experienced, you know, being able to have, you know, maybe that extra practice, you know, hour on site, or you get more practice balls, or you get, you know, a suite at the hotel or any of that. And, you know, now I don't get that, and you certainly notice it. So, you know, but I think, of course, you know, the higher ranked players deserve more. They bring in, you know, lots of ticket sales and everything, TV, to a lot of these events. But I do feel it needs to be fair playing conditions for everyone to actually do their job. So, you know, you can't expect top 10 player to get more court time and time on the court with their coach when somebody ranked 50 might have to share four in a court. To me, if as soon as it starts affecting being able to actually do your job, that's not really fair. And, you know, all the other stuff, the hotel rooms and all of that, you know, good on them. They do great things for the sport. They deserve those little bit extras. But, yeah, as long as it doesn't affect the, you know, the way that you can actually perform, then, you know, it's that's just the way it is. That's the world we live in. No tennis or no tennis. Yeah. That's the way it is.
Yep. Hey, Renee Stubbs, you're working with Stubbs here, and you played with her. I mean, she's coached a few players, become a terrific commentator, really respected commentator in the sport. Yeah, based over in the US, you made reference a little earlier. Just tell us about coming together as sort of player and coach.
Yeah, it's been great. We started together, I guess it's about a year and a half ago now, and she came to Asia with me, and I made a final in Guangzhou, and, we'd known each other for a long, long time and played with each other, played against each other. And I've really enjoyed working with her. She knows my tennis well. And it's just kind of, it's a easy kind of fit for both of us, I think. And she's understanding of where I'm at in my career at the moment. And, you know, it's not about, you know, having to be out there every single week and, you know, it's this and it's that, and we've got mutual respect for each other, and it's enjoyable being out there. So I know she'll tell it to me straight. If I'm playing well, she'll tell me, and if I'm not playing well and I've got to pull my socks up, she'll tell me that too, and that's exactly what I want in a coach. And, it's great that we can have that relationship and also be, you know, really good friends at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. One last one for you. Just on Australian women's tennis, I mean, Ash Barty, amazing job to get to world number one, and we're so eager to see her back out on court. I mean, it feels like an eternity since she's played a match. And, you know, with what you've achieved in your career, and then we've sort of got a bunch of young players who are sort of on the cusp. They're trying to get over that next hurdle to get inside the top 100. Maddie Inglis and Lizette Cabrera, Priscilla Hahn, who unfortunately is injured at the moment. There's some talent. There's some real promise. Where do you think our next sort of group of players can go? What's their ceiling, do you think?
Yeah, well, I mean, who knows? I think it's fantastic that all those players you just mentioned, as well as Astra Sharma, and yep, there's a really good group of girls now between, I don't know, say 80, or Dasha Gavrilova. I mean, she's working her way back up. She's playing very well at the moment. And there's a whole group that are kind of between that 100 to 200 mark, and they are going to keep pushing each other along to get better and better. And, you know, nobody wants to get left behind. So they're all working really well. I mean, they're all down here now pretty much. We're all training together. It's such a good environment between all the Aussie girls. We all want to see each other do well. So I think, you know, hopefully in the next couple of years, we'll kind of see them all coming up. And it's like someone like a Priscilla, I feel like she's been around for a long time, but she's still only 21.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, there's a lot of time for those girls, but you can't think, you know, oh, well, I've got time, that's it. There's still got to be that urgency to do well and perform. And I'm really keen to see how they can all go, because they are such a great group of girls. You want to see those sorts of people succeed. And I know that they'll do everything that they can to try and, you know, get themselves in the top 100 and really solidify their place on the women's tour.
Yeah, they're showing some great capabilities, no doubt. Sam, really appreciate some of your time. Good luck in the continued build-up. A week of lead-ups, then the Aussie Open. It's a different-looking summer, but I know all the Australian players just love the little window that you have to play in front of your home fans. So all the best to you and for 2021.
Great, thank you.
Sam Stosur, what a resume. Let's hope that, there's some more success left in her career. There's no definitive time when she's going to hang up the racket. Still in very, very good shape physically. And let's hope there's a little chapter still to write for Sam, who's juggling being a mum as well. We'll take a break, come back. Plenty of your temper texts. You can give us a call as well, 1300 736 736.
Miss your favourite show?